That was fun, folks. That was fun.
All right.
All right, if you have your Bibles, open up to Exodus chapter 1. And we are going to start down at verse 7. The Bible says in Exodus 1, verse 7, it says, "And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses." Sorry. "But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter and hard bond with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field, all their service, wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other was Pua. We'll go with that one. Yeah, that sounds better than what I said. Pua. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then ye shall live. Then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the service this morning. I thank you for church in general. I thank you for Faith Baptist Church especially, dear Lord. I thank you for giving me what I believe is a message you'd have me preach, dear Lord. I thank you for giving me this opportunity to preach, dear Lord. I pray that that I don't take it lightly, that you'll get my nervousness out of the way, and you'll help me to say what I believe you'd have me to say, dear Lord. I want to help somebody tonight, dear Lord, and I know that the only way I can even have a remote possibility of a chance to do that is if you speak through me, dear Lord. I pray that you'll get me out of the way. In Jesus' name, I pray. Now, here in the book of Exodus, what we have is we have a new king. And this new king does not know Joseph. And this new king does not know Joseph's God. He doesn't respect Joseph, and he doesn't respect Joseph's God. And what he really fears are the children of Israel, God's people. So in order to keep the Israelites under his rule, he sets over them taskmasters. He sets over them rulers to basically enslave these people. Now, what we do know is that Egypt in the Bible is a type of the world. And what the world does and what it tries to do is take sin and get you all kinds of caught up in it.
That's right.
It tries to get you all kinds of tangled up in this big mess. And it seems, at least in my life, say amen if you've noticed the same, and I've noticed that in my life, the hardest I get attacked is when I get right with God. When I start getting some sin out of my life, or if the Lord presses something upon my heart to do something, that's when I start to get attacked the hardest. That's when the devil and the world and the flesh just smacks me upside the head. It's when I want to start serving God more than I previously was. And the world and the flesh and the devil wants to get you caught up and not let you go. And you end up living your entire Christian life back and forth, up and down, battling with a sin and never really getting victory over it. You never really get victory over it. Now, what I want you to realize is that when Israel was in bondage in Egypt, the children of Israel served Egypt more than they served God. Yeah. They served Egypt more than they served God. And what we call a roller coaster Christian, they'll battle this sin, they'll battle something their entire life, whether it be something they want to serve God with or whatever it is, they'll battle it their entire life. And at the end of their life, they'll look back and they'll see that they served the world more than they ever served God. They'll serve the world more than they ever served God. Look, I'm not talking about a lost man that's pouring his life into his job and setting his family to the side. I'm not talking about a lost man that goes to the bars and he does all of these different things and he hangs out with the friends that the world has to offer. I'm talking about a saved person. I'm talking about a saved person who doesn't spend any time with God and get to know him himself. That's who I'm talking about. And the problem is when I say that there's people in the church who don't know what it's like to have a relationship with God, as adults, we just assume that I'm talking about teenagers. We just assume that that's who we're talking about. But I can testify that there's people my age and even older who have been saved longer than me, and they don't know what it's like to have a relationship with God. They don't know what it's like. They don't know how sweet it is to be able to go and talk to him when you need something. They don't know. They don't know what it's like to open their Bible and it just feels like he's speaking to you. Amen. They don't know. And they've been saved longer than I've even been in church. That's the kind of people we have. It's not just teenagers. What we have is a generation of Christians who come to church and they base the successfulness of God over how much shouting went on a Sunday morning. And I can tell you that's a dangerous thing to do coming to Faith Baptist Church, because we will shout. We will shout more than most churches you will visit. But you can't base your successfulness in church that morning based on how much Brother Ken shouts. If God's talking to you, just because Brother Ken shouted doesn't mean you got right. You doesn't mean that you did what God wanted you to do this morning. But that's what we've gotten accustomed to, is basing how effective the Holy Spirit is because of how good the choir sang that morning.
Amen. That's right, bro. That's good preaching.
We've got people who show up, they go through the motions.
That's right.
Some of them even shout, not having felt anything at all. Amen. And then they go home. This is churches all across America. I use Faith Baptist as an example because that's where we are currently. But this is churches all over. This is churches all over. Let's look at Exodus chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. It says, "And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses." What I want you to realize here in this passage, right here in these couple verses, is that the children of Israel sat back and they allowed Egypt to put that bondage on them. They allowed it to happen. He said that the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. That's what he said. That's what the king said. He was scared of the children of Israel. That shows me that the children of Israel had the power to do what was right, even though they were in Egypt. And they allowed the king to put that bondage on them. They allowed the king to put the bondage on them. Do you know how sneaky this world is? It's been around a lot longer than I have, and it's got tricks that I haven't even seen. This world comes up and it sneaks up on you and it'll get you messed up and you don't even know it. Right. It'll get you messed up and you don't even know it. We live in a world that is designed to distract you. It is designed to distract you. Everything is constantly fighting for your attention. How many people have seen somebody do this or have done this themselves? They pull out their phone and they check Facebook. And they're checking Facebook, and then, you know, they jump over and they check on Twitter. They check Twitter, and then they jump over and they check Instagram, even though that all three of them are the same thing. They check all three of them, and then they go back and they check Facebook to see if anybody commented since the last time that they were on Facebook, and then they got to jump on Snapchat, and they got to make sure that they get their streak. They got to make sure they got their streak on Snapchat. And meanwhile, you've got teenagers and even adults who are just sit there glued to their phone. Did you know that a teenager is sometimes on their phone up to 11 hours a day? That's a lot of time. I can't remember the last time I did something for 11 hours straight. I can't sit still that long. Neither can she. You got your TV on, and you're watching your TV show, and then all of a sudden, boom, commercial comes. And they're immediately trying to sell you something. They're immediately trying to sell you something. But why would you watch that when you could just flip the channel and go watch another TV show? And then you could go watch another TV show, and before you know it, you're sitting there in your living room for hours trying to watch three TV shows at the same time, trying to keep up with everything. They've got the NFL Red Zone. Is that still a thing, the NFL Red Zone, where you can pay extra money to watch all the football games on Sunday at the same time? You can watch them all. Why? Why would you want to do that? You can watch all of the football games at the same time. Meanwhile, you're watching five or six different football games, and your Bible's been sitting on the coffee table the entire week. You're watching all these different TV shows. Meanwhile, your Bible might be sitting on the dash of your car still because you forgot to bring it inside. And you didn't realize it until you were looking for it Sunday morning, getting ready to go to church. Where's my Bible at? Amen. The world's designed to distract you. It's designed. Don't think it's by chance. Don't think it's by chance. You realize that there's somebody behind the scenes pulling the strings? Somebody's behind the scenes pulling the strings because they know that even if there's a few people who dedicate their lives to do something for God, they can overcome the world.
That's right.
It's designed this way. It wants your attention. It wants your attention. And the more you pay attention to the world, the less you pay attention to, you know, to form a relationship with God. Amen. It's because you allow yourself to be taken over by what the world is giving you. Now, look, I'm not preaching against a job. I'm not preaching against social media. I'm not preaching against these things. But what I'm saying is that if you sit back and you think about it, and you're honest with yourself, how many times in your Christian walk have you been holding hands with the world, and then God convicts you, and you let go of the world, and you start walking with God, and before it's all said and done, you're back over here holding hands with the world? How many times? You see, it's easy for other people to point that out, but you're not going to fix it until you admit it yourself.
Amen.
Who are you holding hands with this evening? Amen. What I'm trying to say is you are making the decision on what happens and whose hand you're holding.
That's right.
Let's look at Exodus chapter 1, verse 15. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. Here we have two women who feared God. They feared God. The king of Egypt told them to live one way, and they chose to live for God instead. Let me tell you that the world wants you to live a certain way. The world wants you to sit down. It wants you to shut up or be quiet. It wants you to keep your beliefs to yourself. It's trying everything in its power to eradicate Christianity off of this planet. How many of you guys have heard separation of church and state, separation of church and state? What if I told you that that's nowhere in the Declaration? It's nowhere. It's like, what is that? You know, that was just written in a letter. It was written in a letter saying, hey, don't worry, church. The government's not going to regulate you. That's all separation of church and state is. That's it. So when somebody tells you, hey, keep your beliefs to yourself, we can abort babies if we want, your decisions, your beliefs are all dumb, don't listen to any of that. It's just garbage they spew at you to get you to be quiet. That's all it is. It's trying everything in its power to eradicate Christianity off of this planet. It has bred people who hate you. This world has bred people and raised up people who hate you and everything that you stand for as a Christian. It has put an attack on the home. It has put an attack on fathers. It has put an attack on all of these different things. It has attacked God and thrown him out of the school system. Morality is at an all-time low in the United States of America. I was talking to Cameron back when they had their revival, Brother Gary and all those preachers, and I was talking to him, and we sat down after church one night, and we were just discussing things. And I gave him a couple. We ended up getting on a discussion about a particular sin of pornography. We were discussing this thing. Did you know, since 2005, from one website, since 2005. America has watched over 10 million years worth of porn. Since 2015. Did I say 2005? I meant to say 2015. 10 million years worth. And yet the world starts to wonder why all of this nasty stuff is happening. You know, the hashtag MeToo movement. Yeah. All I know is that preachers my entire life have been telling me that Hollywood was full of filth, and now that it's coming out, everybody's shocked.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Morality is an all-time low, and now the world is sitting back and wondering, how did it get this way?
Right.
How did it get this way? What we need are some people who will stand up for what is right and tell the world that we're not going to live by your standards, but we're not going to go along with how you think that we should act. We choose to live according to God. See, we live in a world full of people who will tell you what the Bible says and how Christians are supposed to act, knowing that they haven't read it or studied it a day in their life. And for whatever reasons, Christians have gotten into this slump of when the world tells you that we're living wrong, we go, oh, okay. Oh, okay. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Oh, okay. All right, you're right. I'm just gonna be quiet now. I'm just gonna keep to myself. Man, I hate it when people say that. I never know what to do. But that's what we have, is we have a group of Christians who, when the world tells us to be quiet, we just say, oh, okay. Okay. Here we have two women where the king says, kill all the males. And they said, no. And they stood up for what is right. And why did they do that? Down in verse 20 it says, they did that because they feared God. In verse 17 it says, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. Let's look down at verse 20. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. He lifted them up. He blessed them because they did right when the entire world was against them. He blessed them because they stood up for what was right. And why did they do that? They did that because they feared God. In Psalms chapter 31, verse 19, it says, oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. In Psalms 112, verse 1, it says, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. In Psalms 115, verse 13, it says, he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. In 128, 1, it says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 21, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. In Proverbs 15, 16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. In Psalms 34, 9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want in them to them that fear him. Proverbs 31, 30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth God, she shall be praised.
That's right. Amen.
We have two women here that feared God. And I honestly, if they didn't do what was right, we wouldn't be reading this story. We would have no idea who these two ladies were. But they stood up and they did what was right. And now we get to read about them throughout all these years. So when it seems like you're getting right and you're going to get attacked, and you will, maybe it's the world that's going to attack you. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso will put his trust in the Lord shall be saved, shall be safe. If you, John 15, it says, if you were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. But my Bible also says in John 16, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Maybe it's the flesh that's giving you trouble tonight. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Maybe it's your mind. It says in James 1, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But my Bible also says in 1 John chapter 3, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. It says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Maybe it's the devil who's hitting you tonight. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I misquoted that. Let's start over. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
That's right. Yeah. That's right, brother. Yeah.
Who do you fear tonight? Do you fear the world? Do you fear the flesh? Do you fear the devil? Or do you fear the God who can bring you through all of it? See, the world, the flesh, and the devil will attack you. My flesh attacks me daily. But you know what? My flesh doesn't force me to do anything. The world doesn't force me to do anything. The devil doesn't force me to do anything. We've grabbed hold into this mentality, as Pastor always says. The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. He just laid something in front of you. Sin lieth at the door. He just gave you a little temptation. And you know what? You fell for it. You fell for it. And we got to get to that point where we acknowledge that. We fell for it. We fell for it. Sometimes David Neath falls for it. Sometimes Alex Patesel falls for it. Sometimes Brother Joe Tuck falls for it. Sometimes Brother Jay falls for it. We have to admit that. He's a lot powerful than David Neath is. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He throws out some temptation at you, and you know what? You choose it. You choose it. Pastor said it this morning. We're always putting the blame on someone else. It's easy to point the finger at Brother Ken. It's easy to point at Brother Derek. It's easy to point it at the world. It's easy to point it at the flesh. It's easy to point it at the devil. But at the bottom of it all, you chose to go with it. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. A lot of times we are the way we are simply because we chose it.
That's right.
We chose it. I can't get more simple than that. I understand that sometimes it's hard. I understand that the devil can orchestrate something, and it looks like you don't know how to get out of it. It doesn't look like you have the power in you to say no. But you just got to choose God. You just got to choose what's right. Choose what's right. Isn't it, I believe it was Brother Ruckman who said, if it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Well, he said something about that. There it is. If it's right, do it. If it's wrong, kick yourself around the block. That's a choice. That's a choice. We tend to forget the fact that we have free will after we get saved. You know, that's one of those things where we go, well, now I'm saved, so if I do wrong, it's not my fault. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Is there something that's poking out to you right now? Is there something that you've been battling with? You know, we just got back. Youth Ablaze was only a month ago. It was only a month ago. How many, and you know, we always kind of like try and encourage the teens, make it last longer than 6 weeks. Youth rally's only a month ago. That's less than 6 weeks. Yeah. Keep going. Choose what is right. Choose what is right. The temptation is going to be there. If there's one thing you can count on, it's the fact that the world, the flesh, and the devil is going to try and get you out. But I want to see you guys choose what's right. Hey, adult. You know, Brother Buddy said it while Pastor was out. He said, why do we live meeting to meeting? Why do we live meeting to meeting? The temptation was laid for you all week. It was laid for you since last Sunday. It was probably laid out for you since this morning. What did you choose? What did you choose? Let's look over in Exodus chapter 5, and then I'll finish.
Good preaching.
Good. In Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, and afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord. Neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens? Moses and Aaron, they go and they talk and they say, hey, we got to go. We got to go. We got to go serve the Lord. And you know what the world gives back to him? Who's God? We don't know who that is. We don't know who that is. Listen, if you're not careful, the world will get you tangled up in that sin. And before you know it, you're not even asking the right person to get out. You're asking the world at some point. You get deep enough in there, at some point, you're asking the world to let you go from something that God's already let you go from. At some point, you're trying to figure out how to get out of the sin. And you know what all the world's going to tell you? Just keep sinning. Just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing. But you have to realize that if you're in here and you are saved, God has already freed you from that. The only reason you're still there because you choose to be. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for saving me. Dear Lord, I thank you for...